All this week, we're looking at why more veterans are not getting connected to the benefits they might be entitled to. Michigan has consistently ranked in the bottom five states and territories when it comes to helping veterans and their families access federal VA benefits. Today, we hear from Republican State Representative Jason Wentworth, an Army veteran and a former regional coordinator for the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Representative Wentworth has made veterans' issues a central focus of his time in office. Earlier this year, he worked to get a bill signed into law that will, for the first time, make state funds available for county governments to help veterans apply for federal VA benefits. Cynthia Candy sat down with Representative Wentworth to talk about the bill and the progress Michigan has made in caring for its veterans.
Overall, how do you think the state of Michigan is doing in terms of adequately providing for its veterans?
You know, currently I think we are doing well. We have lots of room for improvement. But coming from where we were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago to where we're at today, we've made some good progress and good strides.
Such as?
You know, I think one of the things you mentioned was me being a regional coordinator. I think that program, which was started, you know, when the MVAA kind of took off, is a good program. I think the VCAT, the Veteran Community Action Team model that we're doing in statewide is a good model as well. I think just the creation of the agency was a good start. And then our accreditation of our veteran service officers definitely has helped improve the quality of benefits that our veterans are receiving.
These veterans service officers, these accredited officers, exactly what do they do and why are they important?
So they help veterans file benefits through the federal VA. And it could be from, you know, aid and attendance, pension, it could be disability. And they help with all other types of aspects around benefits as well. They could provide information to family members on death benefits, burial benefits, things like that. So it's very important because the federal system is full of red tape and barriers. It can be stressful. It can be overwhelming. And veterans will turn away and just say, you know, forget it. I was denied, or I didn't have the proper paperwork, or I just can't, quite frankly, you know, navigate the system. So I give up. And that's what I saw happening over and over again when I met with these veterans in our communities. They would say, well, I tried that and it didn't work, so I gave up. And I don't have time for that. And our veterans in the state are, you know, a major portion of them are 65 or older. And so they're aging to the point where these gentlemen and women have never asked for a benefit in their life. They've came back, they went to work, they put their head down, they raised their family, and now they're aging. Their health may be failing. Their income might have been reduced due to retirement or other, you know, means. And so they're reaching out and they're saying, you know what, I do have an issue or this has been bothering me and I do need help with this. And so we need to be there as a state for these veterans that have, you know, given so much.
And these accredited veteran services officers, it just seems they're the linchpin. All of this really depends on a vet being able to find that navigator to help them figure this all out.
It really is, and that's the whole clutch of our system in Michigan is making sure that when that veteran does need help, that they know where to go.
Now, you said to us it has gotten better. Things have gotten better with having veteran services officers. Do we now have enough of these officers working in enough parts of the state?
No, we don't have enough veteran service officers in our state, both from a veteran service organization through the contract, which is a service coalition contract. We don't have enough there, and also we don't have enough in our counties, at the county offices. So majority of our counties have veteran service officers accredited that serve in the county building, but there are several that don't, and so that's what causes the problem. And then these veteran service officers that are, you know, available within those counties are sometimes only available for, let's say, the first and fourth, I'm just pulling a number out here, you know,
sure,
first and third Monday of every month from noon to four, you know, in the basement of the library.
So what do you think could make things easier for veterans to number one, find, and then number two, contact and work with these veteran services officers?
Yeah, I think the main thing for me and what I've seen across the state is the counties across the state who have veteran service officers located in the county building, mm-hmm, are doing a lot of the claim work in the state. So a lot of the benefits are being filed and initiated at the county level. That's because common sense tells us that when a veteran needs help with government, they go to their their county building where their seat is. And if there's a county veteran service officer there, that service officer helps them with that paperwork. Problem is that those county buildings, in most cases, those veteran service departments have been stagnant in funding for decades because, local governments have been, reduced levels of funding year after year. And so they're trying to hang on to their veteran services. They're not focused on growing their veteran services in their county, even though most of the veterans in their county are now aging to where they do need the additional people in the departments. They can't fund them. So, put yourself in a county commissioner's shoes and a veteran service director comes to you and says, we need more people. And they say, well, you've been at this level of funding for 5, 10, 15 years. If we increase your funding this year, we can't reduce it next, right? That would be a political nightmare. So they maintain the level of funding and never grow their departments in a lot of these counties. And it's unfortunate because we're at a point in our state where we need to invest in these services. So my issue is, as a state, we have to say, look, we need to increase the level of service we provide at the county level to our veterans and their families. And if that means providing them the funding that they need in order to grow their services, then that's what we have to do. And so we passed our House bill, which would allow that and was signed by the governor. So now we're going to, invest in county services for the first time in our state's history to help grow the county departments. And counties will tell you now that it's great that the state's putting that out there. Mm-hmm. So it's sustainable now. They can grow their department. They can invest in the services. And we're making it so that they can hire an additional person. A part-time person, they can, increase the level of current service. And also, if they need a secretary or they need, additional space, whatever it may be, but to allow them to have that opportunity to grow the department.
Representative, looking at the new strategic plan that was put out by the MVAA for the next 4 years, there's very little mention about the need for these veterans services officers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the strategic plan in depth just yet. But, I think it when you look at the veteran services or the veteran issues across the state, there are many issues that you can delve into and improve. Veteran services and the delivery is just one of them, one of many. So I would have to look exactly at the plan to see if any of the strategic plan actually addresses some issues that might relate to the veteran service delivery. So there may be some other aspects of that plan that kind of touch on this, but not directly.
Would you like to see that as a priority?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to see this as a priority until it improves, I'd like to be number one in the country, but realistically speaking, we need to move up and it like now. I would like to see that as a priority. I think the MVA has taken steps to help improve that. I think, the bill that we just did will improve that. But the bill that I had originally to where I ended, until we had the bill passed is different. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to continue to push and improve that bill and improve the amount of resources we allocate towards this bill, because I think it's that important. I think it's one of the issues that, again, I hear continually on the ground.
I want to discuss the state's ability to find veterans. A performance audit of the MVA by the State Auditor General came out in February of this year. It was pretty critical. The first finding said the MVA had not implemented the processes required to identify and contact veterans who are already receiving state aid to see if they are eligible for more benefits. And veterans advocates we've spoken to say they don't know where veterans in their communities live. Why is it hard for the MVAA to find veterans and contact them?
That's a good question. I think there are many ways that we can track veterans that are getting out of the service. And we have mechanisms in the state where we can compile information. It's the state government to state government or state agency to state agency sharing of information that I think is the main issue. So, for example, we can use the Secretary of State veteran designation on their driver's license. That list exists where a veteran comes in, they show their DD-214, they get the designation put on their license. The Secretary of State has that list. I believe that that list should be shared amongst agencies so we can, you know, reach out to those veterans and say, look, you know, the NVA exists. This is what they do. If you need help, here's the contact information. And then also, you know, let's say a DHHS, you know, agency where a veteran comes in and is seeking, you know, assistance or their family, you know, have you served or a member of your family ever served in the United States Armed Forces? That question is asked. If the answer to that is yes, that information should be shared at minimal to the NVAA in order so that they can compile a list that we can then use to communicate to veterans and their families across our state so that they are aware of the benefits that exist and we can continually track their movement throughout the state when it comes to the benefits. So once they reach out to an agency, it's important that we don't lose that veteran. A lot of veterans will say they don't self-identify as a veteran because they're afraid that they're going to lose the benefit that they're trying to apply for. And that's just not the case in most situations. In most situations, they're eligible for additional benefits. We need to get that information out there to veteran population in the state of Michigan.
And those two steps you spelled out, Representative, seem very, very clear and very common sense. So why haven't they happened?
Yeah, again, I don't know the answer to that as far as, you know, interagency policy goes. But I do know that it can happen. Other agencies across the state do it. They share information. They have a memorandum of understanding where they share information amongst the agencies. You know, we're serving veterans. These aren't, and I'll say this, you know, with all due respect, these aren't customers or, you know, clients. These are veterans that served our country. And as state citizens, we owe them the right to, you know, understand and know what the benefits exist for our state for them. And so I think that agencies look at veterans as these are my customers or these are my clients, when in all reality, we're serving them as a state. So it's to me, it's important that we do share it.
I want to move over to veterans' homes. It certainly seems like the MVAA has been very focused on them since the deplorable conditions at that Grand Rapids homes were uncovered in 2016. This August, the MVAA announced it's opening a new home in Macomb County and rebuilding the Grand Rapids home. And each home is expected to house 128 veterans. So while that's great for these 260 or so veterans, what about the tens of thousands of other vets who don't have access to these homes and don't have access to someone to help them get benefits? Can the MVAA meet their needs as well?
You know, I think that's a good question as well. So I think there's two answers to that question. One being, you know, the goal of our state, in my opinion, should be these veterans are generally independent. They like to take care of themselves. Just, you know, I can say it because I'm a veteran, we're stubborn. And, you know, we want to take care of ourselves and we want to stay in our home as long as possible. I think as a state, we need to recognize that and ensure that we can have a service available to veterans that keep them in their homes as long as possible. And so I think that's something we can improve on in the state. And so that the need for veteran homes, you know, in the future might not be as big as what we're anticipating if we try to use the model of keeping veterans in their home. So I think that's one answer. The next answer is, you know, I think this is just phase one. I wasn't a part of the legislature when they passed the bills and such and the appropriations for the veteran homes being built. But I think it's necessary when you look at other states and how they have the facilities for, you know, veterans, mm-hmm. Nursing care facilities. Mm-hmm. So it's just a strategy that, you know, I'm not a part of that conversation within the agency, and I wasn't a part of that conversation in the legislature. So I look at it as let's focus on keeping these veterans in their home as long as possible, and let's make sure that that's a strong focus, as well as, you know, improving our home facilities and current facilities and future facilities, making sure that it's not just a small number of veterans, but we're serving a large number.
And keeping people in their home seems to circle right back to having enough veteran services officers spread evenly throughout the state so people can find them.
Right, exactly.
Jason Wentworth is an Army veteran and the Republican state representative serving the 97th District in mid-Michigan. Representative, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.